Stand before you. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. I'm going to read a couple of verses. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is so easily ensnares us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despising the shame. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious words. Shall we pray? Our gracious and our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this awesome privilege that is ours to be able to open thy living word to us. We pray, Father, that you will take your feeble servant into your mighty hand. Fill me afresh, empower me with thy Holy Spirit. Reach out and minister to the hearts of each and every one, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his own glory. Amen. I'm sure that we are all familiar with the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews can be divided into three segments. The first four chapters deals with what is called the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ as a person. And chapters 4 through 10 which speaks to us of the superiority of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And chapter 10 to 13, the superiority of the life of Christ. And that's from where we are going to consider this morning. What we want to do is to hear who Jesus Christ really is. And we have been meditating upon that all morning. According to the book of Hebrews, Jesus Christ is the last word of God to us. God in sundry times and diverse manners spoke to us through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his beloved Son, the only Son. So Jesus Christ is the last word to mankind. He's not only the last word to mankind, he is the heir of all things. Everything belongs to him. Through whom God has created the ages for us. And he is the brightness, we are told, of the glory of God. And the express image of his person. Who upholds all things by the word of his power. And when he had made purification for our sins, by himself, we are told that he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. We are told, therefore, in chapter 12, that we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. Actually, that takes us back to chapter 11. Whenever the word of God uses the word therefore, it's like a hinge of a door that connects us to the previous considerations that were given to us in the word of God. Who are these cloud of witnesses? Every time I went back and studied that chapter 12, the first few verses, it takes me back to the chapter 11. Let me think about chapter 11. We think of Abel who worshiped God, and Enoch who walked with God, and on we have Abraham who obeyed God, and we have this great cloud of witnesses that are witnessing the life of every child of God, that God is interested in your life as a Christian. You know, when you think about the fact that, when you think about the witnesses, we sometimes think that it's like that we are in a race and there's a Colosseum, and these crowd of witnesses are all watching us. But that's really not necessarily the idea that is given there for us. They are there to witness the event. And when you think of who are watching us, sometimes we might think that how can all these great people watching a feeble servant like myself? But these great witnesses, they have passed through sorrows and difficulties and so forth. We look at our life instead of they looking at us, and we ourselves are encouraged by that. I don't know whether it is Paul who wrote that, but we are told that this is our life is like, Christian life is like a race. The first thing that we need to consider on this passage is the preparation that is necessary for the race that is before us. You are not competing with each other. Each one of us have our own race to run in as Christians. Understand that the instruction, everyone in the race are given the same handbook that we are to follow. But everywhere we look, we will find one thing that comes out loud and clear. We are to divest, throw off everything that hinders us. What we are called upon to do is some radical changes. Divest ourselves of all the things that hinders us in our race as a Christian. We have to sit down and make a list of things in our Christian life. What are the things that hinders us in our Christian life? A hindrance is something that hinders a believer from progressing spiritually. It could be a friendship. It could be an honor. It could be an entertainment. That's the kind of hindrances that sometimes prevent us from growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ in our Christian life. We must stop and remember at any time when any hindrance that is there in our life, that needs to be dealt with. Now, let us suppose that you are a runner, and if you cannot control your weight, your race, you will be defeated in that race. That is, I'm not speaking especially about physical weight here. We ought to divest ourselves of all the things that hinders us. That is the number one thing that we have to remember. Then we ought to divest the sin which so easily ensnares us. Sin individually and collectively, it can affect us. You know, if you look at the life story of great people, the hindrances could sometimes be jealousy, it could be hatred, it could be unthankfulness, it could be pride. But when you look into the Word of God, we'll find for David, the hindrance was the lust. For King Uzziah, it was the pride. For King Saul, that was envy. And for Jacob, it was honesty. Remember, all it takes is one sin to knock you off. For Moses, it was the temper that kept him from the promised land. And we need to understand that we have to run the race that is set before us. That's what it says here. What does that mean? It means that we are not competing with each other. We each have a race to run. We each have a specific course that is set before us. Each one is very unique. The course for each runner is unique indeed. Some are straight, some are uphill, some are flat, but all are long and some longer, that is there. If we rely on the Lord Jesus Christ, we can always finish the race. This is what Apostle Paul said. I have, in the last letter that he wrote to Timothy, he said, I have fought the good fight, he said. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. That tells us that our Christian life is a battle. And so he says, I have fought the good fight. It is not battling with each other, but it's a battle that the enemy is there to defeat our Christian life. And we ought to run with endurance. What does that mean? Because the Christian life is not a sprinter, not 100-yard yards, and then it is a long run in your life. Race that is for the sprinter is not what the Christian life is for. When one going to get through a small event in life, don't quit. Keep on keeping on. Be faithful. Patiently plodding, persevering, run with determination and unhasting and unresting. Refuse to be deflected and defeated by the forces of evil that are around us. Not only that, we have to run with endurance, but one of the principles that is laid out there for us is that we have to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us fix our eyes, we are told in verse 2, on Jesus Christ. Take note of His excellencies. Focus on Him as the pioneer and the originator of our faith. He is the perfecter of our faith. He perfected life by faith, and He endured everything by faith. We must therefore focus and look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who was set before us, who endured the cross. And we have to look at the life and steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have, this morning, we looked at and we were meditating upon the greatness and the glory of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in life. In fact, this is fundamental to faith and completing and for completing the race. Because Jesus Christ is the example. And when we are in the Christian realm, we are often tempted, and just as the Lord was tempted. But He was tempted to bypass the Father's will, but He wouldn't. That's what He did in the Garden of Gethsemane. The struggle was so intense while He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He fought with the devil. And He cried out to God by saying, "If it is possible, let this cup be passed from me." And I often wonder, what was in the cup of the Lord Jesus Christ? You think it was the physical suffering in that cup? It was not. It was the intense agony of spiritual suffering that He suffered on the at Gethsemane. It was a cup that where He longed for a time of fellowship with His dear disciples. But they wouldn't stay awake and share in the agony of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Gethsemane. So in that cup, that was the cup of loneliness. We have, that cup has become a cup of fellowship. It was a cup of sorrow, because as His sweat was as drop of blood. But for us, it is a cup of joy that that the Lord has given us to enjoy in our Christian life. So the example that we have as Christians is not necessarily another Christian. Our example is always the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, the one who created the whole universe by the word of His power, one who was before the world was. He was before all things, we are told. And indeed, in Him, all the things consist. And He is the head of the body, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. And we have to remember that our example us Christians in this race that is set before us is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to take our eyes from all the rest of the people and fix our gaze upon Him, the one who declared the Father to us, the one who manifested Himself to us. So my advice to all of us in this race is that don't be preoccupied with ourselves, but be preoccupied with the Lord Jesus Christ in our Christian life. We are to consider, focus on Him. We have to consider Him. That means we have to think of the thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ as Christians. If we have to run this race effectively, we have to, as I have already said, number one, you have to evaluate yourself and see what are the things that I need to divest of that is standing in the way of my Christian progress, as a progress in my Christian life. And then we are to divest them. We are to actually deliberately deal with issues that in our life that affect our Christian life, that actually prevent us from progressing as a Christian. And then we ought to understand that no two races are alike in our life. See, some are straight, some are uphill. If we look at some people's life, it is all, the battle is all uphill. I was thinking about Lisa recently, who passed on to glory. Was a delightful young lady. At the age of 44, the Lord called her home. But the battle of her life, it was all uphill for many, many, many years. We have no answer why. Why would Lisa, such a lovely young lady, go through the suffering that he did? And we need to understand that there is no biblical answer to why people go through sufferings at all. So it is an uphill battle. For some people it is flat. You know, they don't have the struggles that others have. And you may sit back and look at their life and say, well, you know, they don't have the problems that I have. But you have to step into their shoes and understand that it is different than we think it is. But we need to understand, we are to win this race, we have to rely on Him. And if we do that, if we rely completely upon the Lord Jesus Christ in our Christian life, we will finish well. That's why Paul was able to say, I have fought the good fight, he said to Timothy, and I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. My prayer for all of us is that we would run that race that is marked out for us. So when we go through that evaluation period, look at our life. Are there things that stand in the way of my spiritual progress? We have to honestly answer that question as a Christian. And that we have to run with endurance, because it's not a sprinter, as I already mentioned. It is a long race. all the way through. That is it. Even that long race is such a small part of our entire life. When I look at my life, I'm an old man now. There are some people here that are older than me. But I look back at my life, I can tell you that this is one of the things that has always helped me. That is, we are to look at Jesus Christ as the example. We must deliberately lift our eyes from other distracting things and focus with utter concentration on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. This is fundamental to life of faith as Christians. And completing that race, there are people who break down in between. You know, when you look at the witness that we have before us, may say that you are looking at Abraham. You will find that in Abraham's life there were detours and dead ends, just like everybody else. But Abraham was a great man of faith, right? So that's the faith that we have to have. That's why they are witnesses to us. The life of Abraham is a witness that encouraged me to go on in my Christian life. The life of Jacob, I look at it, there are certain things that I should not be doing what Jacob did, and you know what happened. That what you want as a Christian is an utter honesty. And when you look at the life of some of the people like David, and the life of David is a tremendous example for all believers. Both the negative examples that we are not to follow and the positive example that we have to. Do not be preoccupied with yourself. Preoccupied with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And we not only focus on Him, but we are to consider Him. What motivated the Lord Jesus Christ in His life? What motivated Apostle Paul to go where he did? All the known world was evangelized by Apostle Paul. And we are told that the Lord Jesus Christ, the example that is given to us is for the joy that was set before Him. What was that joy? Isn't that a beautiful thing that the Lord Jesus Christ consider every child that is born into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ as it is a joy for Him. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame in there. Because in the hour of sorrow, He went to the Father and said, Father, glorify Thy Son as the Son may glorify Thee. And that's precisely what we want to do as Christians. The joy of seeing a life that is well-pleasing in the sight of God. He might present her to Himself a glorious church. That was the joy that He had, without spot and without wrinkle, and without blemish. The joy of seeing the work finished as He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That was the reason why. That was the joy that He had. Joy concerning you, concerning the fact that He finished the work which God has given Him. And we are told to consider him in our, not only we are to focus on him, but we have to consider him. That's that word, you are occupying your mind with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. You know, when the way that the Lord Jesus Christ responded to all the people who have leveled all kinds of things against him, Herod and Pilate, and he met with confidence, the meekness and the steel-like strength, and meditate on the Lord Jesus Christ in our Christian life. Read the Gospels. He must be the measure of things. You occupy yourself with Christ. All the Gospels. And all the epistles that the Apostle Paul has given for Christians to follow in the coming days in life, that is there. So therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, it was a great joy for me to study the life story of the people that are mentioned in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. The hall of faith, we are called. We have had the thought this morning brought about Abel, and he worshipped by faith. And then Enoch, who walked with God by faith. And like that, each one of the individuals that are mentioned over there had a real life. They had conflicts, they had difficulties, they encountered all kinds of issues in their life, but they just moved on. It was a life of faith for them that was there. And so, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and we are to lay aside. I'm sure that in your lifetime, you may have heard Hebrews 12 hundreds of times. But when you hear that, what do you do with that word today? Do you want to, when you go home, maybe take a piece of paper and a pencil and evaluate your life. Have you made any progress from the last time to this time? And that's what God is asking us to do, that we not only be hearers of God's word, but we will be people who will take this word and apply it to our Christian life. And that how that application takes place is that we have to deliberately make certain choices as Christians. We have to look at our life and say, have I progressed from the last 5 years or last year? Every year I spend so many hours evaluating what happened in the previous year. Did I make any real progress in overcoming my difficulties in life? As a Christian, did I really had a better race than last year? Have I been a help to my fellow believers? Have I had the courage to be able to witness the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world that is before us? Every day in our life, that every opportunity that God gives us, these are the things God expects us to do. We are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. We look at their life. They are not looking at our life, but we are looking at their life, and be encouraged in the coming days. So not only we look at their life and learn, The second thing that we have to do is that we have to evaluate and consider some changes that need to be take place in our life, practical Christian living. What are the things that hinders me from being a fruitful Christian in my life? And you write that down, endure the life. Don't give up. God wants us to move on. And it is my prayer that you, together, that you have a beautiful assembly that God has given you. Get involved and serve the Lord with gladness. Run that race that is set before you from the Lord Jesus Christ. And may the Lord bless these thoughts to our hearts in the days to come. Shall we pray? Our gracious and our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the awesome privilege that you have given us to consider this very small portion of the scripture that reminds us that we are to look at that cloud of witnesses, that people who have passed through this world and suffered the same kind of issues that we do suffer as Christians. And we can learn from those, from the life of those people. Avoid the things that they have failed and be an example and follow the issues that they have overcome as Christians. We pray, Father, that as this local church evaluate, as individuals sitting and listening, evaluate their Christian life, we pray that you will open their eyes to see where the corrections and changes that must take place and glorify thee, O God, in the coming days. And we pray, Father, that Thou will give them the courage and the strength to make some changes so that we won't be just listeners, but that we may be doers of God's word. Transform and change our life, that we are not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of our mind, that we may continue offer praise and worship acceptable to God in the coming days through our worship and life. So we thank you, Father, for this blessed gathering. Continue to bless them, guide them, direct them, fill them afresh with thy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit of God take hold of us. We pray, Father, that we may be so filled with the Spirit of God that we are to be filled, we are told that's a command. We are continually being filled with the Spirit of God so that when we talk to each other that we may speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making a melody in our hearts to the Lord. May the word of God dwell in each one of us richly, O God, we pray. So thank you for the instruction that you have given us, Lord, so that we may endure in our Christian life journey of faith that you have given us. Father, we pray for those who are suffering, that you will bless each one of them and heal them. Give them the grace that they need. Now those people, Father, who are bereaved of loved ones, it's at such tender age. Father, why would the Lord has given us three times the life that was given to Lisa, but you have called her home. And God, it was God's pleasure to do that. But we thank you that you have always answered our prayers. So we pray, Father, that you will bless this gathering. That these young lives that are in front of me will someday be mightily used of God, not only in this little local church, Lord, but in places of their work and in their home and in the neighborhood, that they will once again, Father, be examples and mighty examples in the witnessing and the testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that you will continue to bless the fellowship that we will have. Thank you for the opportunity that you have given to thy feeble servant to share the word of God. Thank you for hearing our prayers, because we ask it in Jesus' name and for his own glory. Amen. When Christ shall come, with shout of acclamation, and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. And I shall rise in heaven.